But I have a dream that we can influence this community and change its mindset from being dark to being a community of light. Can you say amen? I have a dream. I have a dream that we can influence this community to change its mindset from being God absent to God present. And I have a dream. I have a dream that God put us here to influence this community from being broken to becoming whole in Christ Jesus.
Well, we all remember the iconic message by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I have a dream. Today, a message given by Dr. Wayne Cordero at the beginning of the year. It's not about New Year's resolutions, but about his dream and vision for the future. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Securing His Favor.
Well, Happy New Year to every single. How many of you are ready for a brand new year? Are you ready? Then be expectant, be watching. Otherwise, we can get so religious and caught up in just little stuff that when the Messiah came, the Pharisees who studied the Bible missed him. So always have fresh eyes. Watch. Jesus is everywhere. And so his presence is so omnipresent, so wonderful that if you watch for the hand of God, you'll see it. Don't look for the absence of God's presence. No, look for his presence. So you want to make sure that you're looking for, you know, we can come into a place and say, well, you know, people here, they don't look like me. You know, God never said go to a church where everyone looks like you. He said go to a church where everyone's starting to look like me. The Lord says come in to look more like Jesus. And so we want to be able to say, look for the presence of God, not the absence of his presence. And when you do, you'll see him everywhere. His hand is at work. You believe that? How many of you made resolutions already? Raise your hand. Okay, three of you. Good. That's really good. Really good. We have an enthusiastic group here. How many of you have broken that resolution already? Okay, two out of the three. Good. All right. Yeah, I have a way to keep resolutions, and it was exampled by this one lady. She said, I've been reading medical books. She said, medical books, and about the danger of sugar and sweets on your health and your diet scared me so much. I made a New Year's resolution. Here it is. No more reading medical books. You can keep that one. Well, last week, this is kind of like a continuation of last week. We were talking about a season of favor. And I came out of 1 Kings chapter 4 where the widow, her husband just died, and she had so much debt that they were about to take her two sons and sell them into slavery to pay her debt. So in desperation, she went to the prophet Elisha and said, what do I do? He said, well, what do you got in your house? She said, nothing. A little bit of Crisco oil, you know, a little bit of oil, a little vial. He said, well, go out. And he gives her this strange request. He said, I want you to go out and get from your neighbors, borrow as many vessels and jars as you can. She said, what? Yeah, just go borrow them. That's a little embarrassing. Nope, no, you go borrow. So she got a bunch of jars, and he said, now take that vial of oil and pour it in one of the jars. She said, it's going to only fill that much. No, just do it. So she took a risk. She said, okay. And she poured, and the oil kept pouring to the first jar, then to the second, and then the third, until all the jars were full. And when they were full, the Bible says the oil stopped. I wonder if she would have had another 100 vessels. You think the oil would have kept going? Absolutely. I want you to know that God's power will only be limited not by his willingness or lack of willingness, but by our willingness or unwillingness to bring him whatever we have. There's empty jars in our life, maybe to take a risk, to get a little bit more, to say, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to go to more neighbors, and I'm going to risk embarrassment, and I'm going to ask for jars. But maybe she stopped because it was just getting too much. I don't know. But I want you to know that God's power is able to fill everything we got. So last week we talked about God's season of favor, but today we want to talk about securing God's favor. Because it's one thing to have God offer something to you. It's another, are you taking a hold of it? and claiming it. We want to talk about claiming the favor of God. You say, well, what's the favor of God, Wayne? Favor of God is when God activates people and resources on your behalf. When you're doing God's will, doing your best to please Him, God is going to put everything together to resource you, to help you to do His will. Don't you think that would be obvious? Absolutely. In fact, he said that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. He says that if you will be doing God's will, you will have everything pertaining to life and godliness. He's going to provide that. That's the favor of God into your life. And so we've got to claim it. But you know what? I bet there's a whole bunch of Christians that never claim the favor of God. Do you know how much is left in unclaimed tax refunds every year? Guess. $1.5 billion that the government is glad to receive. And how many of you, by the way, could use $22 million right now? Raise your hand. Yeah. That's how much Oregon residents don't claim every year. You guys. And the crazy thing is, the IRS sent me a letter last year because I underpaid my taxes by $79.14. They sent me a bill. I thought, take it out of the $22 million that you stole from us. I paid it. I wrote a check, sent it out. But I was thinking, you know, if we don't claim it, it will remain unclaimed. And I wonder how much of the favor of God that He would have in store for us that we just don't claim. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus makes three proclamations. And we're going to read it together because we need to claim those proclamations that He declares. He declared it. Are we going to receive it? Today, I want to talk about securing the favor of God. Let's read this together out of Luke 4 and verse 18. It'll come up on the board. Would you read it with me? Go. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. To proclaim good news to the poor, there's a first. To proclaim freedom to the prisoners, there's second. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, a lot of times we say, yep, we're supposed to give good news to the poor. Got that one. Freedom to people in prison or held hostage by addictions. Amen, amen. Proclaim, do we claim the year of the Lord's favor? I don't know about that one. I want you to not only proclaim, but claim the Lord's favor. And don't leave it unclaimed. And how do you do that? Well, we proclaim the same thing. I want you to say to your neighbor, this will be a year of the Lord's favor. Turn to one neighbor and just say, this will be a year of the Lord's favor. Declare it. Turn to your second choice of a neighbor now and say the same thing. This will be a year of the Lord's favor. So you got to declare it because God's activating people in favor on your behalf. I don't know if this is a favor of the Lord. It's a funny story, but it might be a coincidence. But anyway, I'm driving in Hawaii, and at that place, the speed limit, I think, was 55. So I'm going, you know, a couple miles over, not much, and max 5, you know, just so it wasn't that much. But I go by this cop, and the cop looks at me, I mean, really intently like this. As I went by, and I thought, oh, junk. I thought, no, I'm only 4 or 5 miles over. He won't do anything. Well, he turns his lights on and chases me. And I thought, no way, God, what is going on? So he chases me down. Of course, I pull over, and he stops his car in back of me, and I thought, this is crazy. So he comes up, and he says, can I see your driver's license? And I give him my driver's license. He takes a bit. And then he comes back to the car in the politest manner. He says, excuse me. I never heard a cop say, excuse me. You know, they said, excuse me, could you step out of the car? I thought, no way. He's going to frisk me for drugs. I didn't have any on me. Don't worry. You know, like, come on. Give me a break. So I get out of the car and I'm ready to put my hands on the roof. And the cop goes, no. You're Pastor Wayne Cadero. My wife listens to you every morning. I stopped you because I thought that was you. Can we get a selfie together? Click. I thought, dude, I'm going to turn you in just for scaring the tar out of me. But as I was driving down the road, I thought, that's a favor of the Lord. That a husband who probably didn't listen, you know, but his wife does, that he's impressed and to impress his wife. And all of these things just start to come together. I'm not wondering if, you know, later on he would go to church with his wife. All of these things start to click, click like Legos together. And I think that's the favor of God. Some people say, oh, that's just coincidence. Well, then I'm going to keep praying for coincidences then. But I believe it's a favor of God, where God begins to activate things on your behalf when we are willing to do the will of God. And whatever he does, as he calls us, we want to be pleasing to God. He said, well, Wayne, how can you say it's going to be a year of the Lord's favor when not everything's going to be perfect? Well, sure. I mean, you look at the life of Jesus. Was that perfect? When he was born, Herod tried to kill him. They had to run away to Egypt. Then up in Galilee, he's faced with demons chasing him. Comes back to Jerusalem, religious leaders are trying to kill him. And you got people hanging, lepers going after him. I thought, good night, they finally crucify him. Yet from the cross, he says, I finished the course. I ran the race. Redemption has come to mankind. And I thought, isn't that something? You see, even though things don't seem to always be right in your life, God says, if you're called according to my purpose, Romans 8:28, I will work all those things together for good. I'll take all the pieces and I'm going to put together a masterpiece. Take the pieces and put together a masterpiece that when you see it one day, you'll give God great glory. He's able to do that. Take all of the broken pieces of your life and put a mosaic together. That's just beautiful. That shows people the glory of God. Never be afraid. Never. And can I encourage you to be a contender? Because, you know, my brother's sick. Contend for his health. But what if the doctor says it's no? Contend for his health. But what if all of the signs look bad? Contend all the way to the end. I contend for health. But what if he dies? Then God, who gave you the grace to contend, will give you the grace to release. And then I start to contend again. Be known as an outlaster, a contender, an overcomer, not one who succumbs at the earliest whim of whatever sickness or fragility humans have. You be someone that keeps contending and contending and contending, because that gives you a reputation of someone who is willing to overcome no matter what the odds are. I'm going to believe God. Can you say amen to that? I'm going to believe God. However, when you start doing that, Wayne, you know, and you really start securing God's favor, doesn't it make you risk sometimes? Like that woman had to risk her reputation going from door to door, embarrassing and just borrowing vessels. Yeah. One of the things about faith is it requires you to be willing to take a risk, but not a stupid risk. It's a God risk. There's a big difference. I don't know about you, but once in a while I watch extreme sports because they're so dumb. And did you know the Red Bull commercials? I was doing some study on it. Doing those commercials, 7 people died doing those things. You know, jumping off a cliff and, you know, running into cars and stuff like that. Just 7. And then the extreme sports like base jumping, that's the worst, where people will go up to the top of a tower and just jump off, hoping that the sheet that they got from their mother's bedspread, you know, or something is going to keep them. And did you know that over the year, there's 15 deaths every year from base jumping? People that try to get as close to death as they can without dying. You want to know an extremer sport? Get as close as you can to God and experience living. That would be wonderful. Instead of trying to get as close to death as you can without getting swallowed by her. You know, I was reading this article in this magazine that said, extreme sports deaths are rising. Why? I thought, duh. I'm not talking about those kinds of risks. You want to know the secret of the book of Acts, where Christianity spread all over the globe? It's in chapter 15, verse 26, and it says this. Read it. Those people who what? Risk their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's men and women who are willing to risk. Because, you know, watch this. The favor of God, if I held the favor of God here, the favor of God is just on the other side of my comfort zone. And if I don't want to walk outside of my comfort zone, I will never experience the favor of God, because everything will be guaranteed for me and my comfort, my convenience. But God's favor lies outside. Why does he put it outside of your comfort zone? So that you can take a risk, and in doing so, you expand your faith. You've just grown in the faith. And then you grow and enlarge more. That's why the scripture says in the Old Testament that God will enlarge the place of your tent. He says, stretch out your curtains, strengthen your pegs, for I will spread you abroad to the right and to the left. So God is saying, my favor is going to lie just outside your comfort zone. So be willing to take a risk. My first pastorate was when I was 31 years old, and I went to a place called Hilo, Hawaii. That's a sleepy town on the southernmost island in the chain of islands of Hawaii. Knew nobody there, but we went to start a church, and 11 years it grew so quickly. We had 2,000 people coming to that church in a town of 32,000. So the next size church was 300. So it was a kind of an anomaly. But after 11 years, the Lord challenged my heart and said, I want you to go to the street and start all over again, 250 miles north in the city called Honolulu, where there's a million people. And I thought, I don't want to do that again. I'm comfortable here. We had just built a big building, 20 acres. Everything was fine. I had a corner office. You know, everything was great. And I thought, no, that's outside of my comfort zone. The Lord said, I want you to go. A year I wrestled with God, a year. Finally, I said, okay. So I talked to one of the elders of the church. It was a lady and she was a saint and a half. And I said to her, I think God's telling me to go and start all over again. She said, no, that's wrong. I said, no, I've just been wrestling with it. She said, no, you're not done here yet. And I said, no, I think, and then all of a sudden she starts crying. I thought, oh no, I really hurt her. She said, no. When God reveals something to me, I cry, and he just revealed something. I said, okay, all right, you can cry. But what is he saying? She said this, I've never forgotten it. She said, what we define as risk, heaven defines as great faith. God is about to do something, for as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. God is about to do something great. Go to Honolulu. God is saying, do it. So that year we went, and you know, I look back on it now. In the last 15 years before we came back to Eugene, 120,000 salvations took place. 120,000 in 15 years. 20,000 baptisms. 36 churches were planted in Hawaii. 153 globally. In Japan, there's 22. The Philippines, there's 33. It's just amazing what God had done. And I look back on it now and I said, oh, it started with me willing to take a risk, huh? That's the book of Acts. That's what happened back then. That's why it grew. And that's why it'll grow again here in Eugene, Oregon. That's it. The church grew to 12,500. I thought, you know, never underestimate the beauty of God's glory. When we're willing to step out of our comfort zone for the sake of Christ and take a risk. One of my favorite heroes, a missionary, is an evangelist of yesteryear, and his name was C.T. Studd. And he said something in his book that I'll never forget. I was reading it when I was about 34 years old, and it said, I came across a line, and it said this, the gamblers for gold are so many, but the gamblers for God are so few. Where are the gamblers for God? And boy, that pierced my soul. And I wrote in that book, and with a little pen, sharp pen, I wrote, I will be a gambler for God. I was 34 years old. And I look back on it now and I think, yeah, we have to be willing to take that risk. And then watch what God does. Let's read this next scripture out of Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified. Would you read it? Go. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all we dare ask or think, beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work. What do you want God to do with your life? Dream it up. Dream it up is what he's saying. Well, I don't know. Dream it up. Let it be audacious and big. What could you do? In fact, make it up. You got it? This is what God is saying. When you got it, Wayne, my dream for you is bigger still. That's the favor of God. And we've got to claim that. Otherwise, we'll leave it unclaimed. No, claim the favor of God. But here's where I want to come to, and that is this. The favor of God is wonderful when one person claims it and says, God, thank you. I'm going to move in a year of favor. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to take risks for you, move out of my comfort zone for the sake of Christ, as the book of Acts says, not my sake, not for just being cool. No, this is for the sake of God. I want to do this for God. But here's the power. When one person does it in our church, that's great. But what if we all did that together? Do you understand the power of this place? That's the body of Christ. We're individually members one of another, but we're the body of Christ. And when we move together, there's all kinds of things that break forth. I say it this way. There's three kinds of people. One, those who make things happen. Two, those who watch things happen. And three, the ones that say, oh, what happened? We want to be a part of that first group. And as we grow, we've got to move together as one. It's exampled in nature. Do you know that? Where God takes individual things, and when they move together, it's powerful. For example, little birds like starlets. I don't know if you've seen any of these, but when they move together, it's like a beautiful ballet. It looks like a UFO in the skies. And predators look at that and go, dude, those are aliens. And so they leave them alone. When they move together in harmony, it's a ballet. Or fish in the ocean. You can have these little fish, but when they pull together, they can look like a whale, a blue whale. So when fish come after them, they just kind of go into this thing here. And if you take a look at this, it looks like, man, there's a whale coming at me. But you know, the best example is not necessarily from birds or fish or other things that move as one. It's human beings. When the people of God move as one. And we can learn a ton, believe it or not, from the Amish. Have you ever heard of their barn raising? When a neighbor needs a barn built, like several hundred, this and this one here is 100 men, will come together and move to build this barn. They look like ants moving around, but they're all in harmony and coordination with one thing in mind. Let's build this barn for our neighbor. Now, here's the cool thing. Not only do they get the project done, don't you think that when that barn is done, that family is bonded with all of these people? Every time they enter that barn, like, thank you for our community. Thank you for our family. Oh, God. And then they're willing to pass on that virtuous help and volunteerism when another person has a barn to be built. Do you understand? After 10 or 15 years, the bond of that community is like no other in the world. And that's the body of Christ. Now, let me conclude with this. In the early 60s, Martin Luther King Jr. gave a famous speech, and it was called, I Have a Dream. Well, I want you to know that this is a speech by Wayne Cadero Jr., and it's called, I Have a Dream. But in reality, here it is. Listen, I have a dream that God did not put us on this hill at random or just as an accident or just to do something new. No, I believe that God put us here to influence our community right out there. I have a dream that we can influence our community and change their mindset, because really God put us in the middle of one of the most liberal communities on the West Coast and one of the most weird. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, keep Eugene weird. Yeah, I thought, you don't have to try. It is. But I have a dream that we can influence this community and change its mindset from being dark to being a community of light. Can you say amen? I have a dream. I have a dream that we can influence this community to change its mindset from being God absent to God present. And I have a dream. I have a dream that we have put here to influence this community from being weird to being redeemed. And I have a dream. I have a dream that God's put us here to influence this community from being broken to becoming whole in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen to that?
You've been listening to a message entitled Securing His Favor by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord. Aloha.